For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The Woolwich terrorist attack, which took place on Wednesday afternoon, was of such a nature that words are insufficient to describe the monstrous, barbaric murder. Lee Rigby, 25, and from Middleton, Greater Manchester, who had been in the 2nd Battalion Royal Regiment of Fusiliers for a number of years, was run down by a car and then mercilessly killed and dragged into the streets. Islamic chants of Allah is great were heard, and of course video footage shows one of them making those political statements. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be heard. The fact that they did not run away and instead wait for the police, which in turn led to their shooting, revealed the intent that they did have. It must be said that mainstream Islamic leaders and communities have come out and condemned this outright, and it appears that these men came under the influence of extreme and a radical form of their religion. It is not my desire to investigate the religion of Islam in this particular focus. According to the word of God, we know it is a false religion, and the basis for making such a statement is that is to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the religion of Islam, is not the eternal Son of God, and God's free and full salvation is not a reality in Islam, neither is it found through faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is the message which is the essence of the gospel and the heartbeat of the word of God. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8 verse 9. However, without wanting to undermine the atrocity of this mindless, callous murder, there must be, by necessity, a response from the Christian community that is of a biblical nature, a biblical and a scriptural reaction and response. This response must not follow in the same knee-jerk reactions which we have witnessed since the incident. Several bodies of opinion have been found circulating around social networking sites and throughout communities. Unfortunately, those who come under the English Defence League have come out in protest. You wonder if such people are just looking for an excuse to flex their thuggish and their brutal ways. Then again, the old well-worn statements of the anti-God and anti-religion lobby also have been heard. For example, this is where religion gets you, and so forth. Some, more understandably, amongst the general public, just don't know how to respond. They don't know what to think and what to feel. Such has been the shock that has been created by this murder. There is a danger of overlooking other acts of wickedness which have been carried out by man throughout history, simply because this attack which took place in Woolwich, London, involves the themes of terrorism, Islam, and the threat of further danger, of course. It must be said that several elements have contributed towards the shocking nature of Wednesday's happenings. We can think, for example, of the fact that it was a murder of a soldier who was wearing a Help for Heroes t-shirt. It also took place in the light of day, not at night, when it was hidden from people's eyes. It was in front of people, passing by. People were seen to stop and even try to remonstrate with these suspects. Of course, it was of a most savage and terrible nature. Then we have those political statements recorded by the man with the bloodied hands holding a knife and a meat cleaver. And such an image will live long, unfortunately, in the minds of many people. This is why we cannot forget what happened, and we shall not. However, before Wednesday, and long before any kind of terrorist activity in our own country or in any country, there have been and shall be acts of wickedness of varying nature or circumstances. We can think back again into the UK of that man Dale Cregan, who was a white British man from Manchester and killed 4 people, including 2 female police officers. And of course, there was no religious motivation for such action. Then we can think recently of prominent broadcasters found guilty of indecent sexual acts against children and young people. Then we can think of those that abuse in care homes, those who are abused in nurseries. There is corruption in politics. There is corruption in education. There is corruption in society. There is a brokenness in home. The reality is that this ugly list goes on and on. And it doesn't just begin and stop at a terrorist act in Woolwich, London. It starts with each and every one of us. That is where a biblical response must always begin. Not to undermine the nature of what took place, but to look at the bigger picture, remind ourselves of what the mind of God is on the matter, to remind ourselves that we all have that responsibility before God. Call to mind the instance in the Gospel account of Luke chapter 13. Some came to the Lord Jesus Christ with hard questions and deeply sensitive matters. The murder of the Galileans by Pilate, the one who mingled the same blood with the sacrifices. Well, were these individuals that were killed in such a way, were they more wicked because this happened to them and not others? Is that why they died? The tower that fell and killed 18 people, we read of in the same chapter, were these people that died, were they worse than others? Is that how God operates? These things happen to the worst of people? We know that's not the case, don't we? The Lord redirects the thinking of those that were thinking these things and emphatically says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Instead of trying to work out who was worse and why, they were to consider their own sin and accountability to God. Now that's a different set of circumstances. The same principle applies. It is right that there is a public outcry against any form of terrorism and any display of human wickedness, especially where the taking of a human life happens. It is also right and required by God that we look at the bigger picture, as I've said. You see, such atrocities happen because man is fundamentally alienated from the true and the living God. All outward workings of depravity are symptomatic of a sinful, depraved heart that stands in need of cleansing and of pardon. Some sins are more heinous than others, but all sin is heinous in the sight of God. I believe, as do all Bible-believing Christians, that Islam is not true religion. But where you have the combination of a life which is, of course, born in sin, as we all are, then influenced by radical ideologies, you then have the savagery that we witnessed in Woolwich, in London, on Wednesday. Likewise, where you have a young lady or a young man born in sin, as we all are, and then led in some way, influenced in some direction, whatever the leanings or the influences of their environment may be, there will be an outworking of sin. You can shut that person inside a house, inside a room, but sin will manifest itself. All will gravitate towards their inclination, to where their will is inclined. And what we must do is pause to give thanks to God that it is His grace that keeps so many of us from sins we could have quite easily fallen into. Our country, like all countries, I assume, is a broken society that manifests itself in a number of ways of brokenness. It doesn't need to be just murder and terrorism, but also unfaithfulness and deceit. A broken society is made up of broken people. A broken person, which quite simply is just you, it is me, is one who must consider their own soul. The question that we must ask ourselves after we have recovered from the shock of the Woolwich attack is quite simply this: what about me? Where do I stand before God? The people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, must stand with those who suffer in such times. We're not to remove ourselves from those around us and cease to be a means of comfort. We must empathise. We must seek to support our nation at such times. But we must remind ourselves that we have a message to bring, don't we? When these things happen, there will be bitterness, there will be anger, there will be confusion, there will be disarray. These reactions are inevitable. As to, there will be hatred for God, a dislike and rejection of religion, a re-examining of politics and of decisions and policies, and all these things inflame as they do time and time again. As to, unfortunately, many racial hostilities. Yet the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever they may be from, whatever background they have, they belong to the Saviour, they belong to the family of God. And they must respond not with a carnal approach. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are spiritual. And at such times as these, the power of God is desperately needed, as at all times. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that remains our primary response. Because it is, after all, the only response, the only means by which man is brought to a place of reconciliation. In the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again and exalted on high is the only means by which we shall have peace with God through his precious blood. Well, we must not forget those that have been taken in acts of terrorism or just the individual as we have witnessed there in Woolwich. But we remind ourselves of one who willingly laid down his life because of the sins of multitudes, the countless number for whom he took their place, stood in their stead, bore all of their sorrows. And we rejoice in one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him.